This is second of three sermons on a very short verse. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Knock and the door will be open. So, how do we pray without ceasing? We meditate on His words to understand His attributes. We meditate on Him in order to remain in His presence. Having a constant conversation with God, praying to, listening, and just enjoying a constant walk with our joint heir, Jesus Christ. Remember, a constant conversation is not constantly talking. It is just being in the presence, talking, listening, just enjoying the fact that you're in His presence. Our walk brings us joy, as we realize our God wants our fellowship, wants our worship, wants us to be with the Almighty God. Such a walk brings His kingdom in focus, and Satan's sinful kingdom fades away as we recognize the glory of our eternal kingdom. Regardless of what the world thinks of us, we are children of the Most High God, joint heirs with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Praying without ceasing gives us this understanding, gives us this joy, gives us this peace. An example is a pastor that a tax collector came to. Tax collector came one day to a poor minister of the gospel to determine the amount of taxes he would have to pay. "What do you possess?" he questioned. "Oh, I am very wealthy," replied the minister. "List your possessions, please," said the tax assessor. The man of God replied, "Well, first, John 3:16 says, I have eternal life. Second, John 14:2 says, I have a mansion in heaven. Third, Philippians 4:7 says, I have a peace that passes all understanding. Fourth, 1 Peter 1:8 shows that I have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Fifth, 1 Corinthians 13:8 says, God has a divine love that never faileth for me. Sixth, Proverbs 31:10 shows that I have the blessings of a pious wife. Seventh, Exodus chapter 20, verse 12 says, I have healthy, obedient children that are a blessing to me. Eighth, Proverbs 18:24 reminds me that I have true, loyal friends. Ninth, Psalm 42:8 says, I don't have any fear, and I actually have songs in the night. And tenth, James 1:12 says, I have a crown of life awaiting me in heaven. The tax collector closed his book, and he said, truly you are a very wealthy man. However, your property is not subject to taxation. Give him time on that, but that's beside the point. Now, this man's joy was evident, even in front of an auditor from the IRS. How many of you could smile if an auditor came and audited you? But he constantly walked with God. He meditated on God's attributes. His meditation showed God's love to him, and thereby he understood His eternal riches. Meditating on the magnitude of those riches, the world faded away. Meditating on His word to teach His new family's commands, he kept them, and that made Jesus his friend. Meditating, listening, and walking to God, his joy was evident and full as God constantly walked with him. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Seeing the importance of praying without ceasing, we understand the need. We understand the joy. We understand the eternal nature of His kingdom. But we're not of this world. We are in the world, and this is an excessively godless, sinful world. Does anyone doubt that, looking outside and reading the newspaper? It attacks us from every side. How do we accomplish that which will bring us this joy, this peace, this understanding? Meditating on our eternal God in a sinful world. Well, praise God, He has shown us the way. Turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to read from verse 4 to 9. So in Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Dear Heavenly Father, we look at your word today. And it's exciting to look at that word. It's exciting to realize that this is not a book of stale commands. This is a book of showing the love of God toward us and how we can have that joy of walking with you. How we can learn of your attributes and learn how those attributes can be our attributes as we are children of the Most High God by adoption. And Lord, let us focus on your glory, your love, the peace that you give us. And let us let the world fade away, because we know where our kingdom is. We know where our home is. And we know that we have a God that is for us. And if God be for us, there is nothing that can be against us. Let us, in faith, walk with you. Let us, in faith, do your commands. And let us, in faith, serve you, regardless of what the world thinks. And let us have that joy and that peace that passes all understanding. For we ask it in your precious Son's dear name. Amen. Now, our typical response, most of the times, is, why pray when you can worry? Isn't that what the world mostly does? Paul puts this on its head. He looks at this and he says, why worry when you can pray? We all have many problems. We have many issues. We have many challenges. Anyone out here have no issues at all? Everything is working perfect in your life? Yeah, mine either. Everything makes us anxious. S.D. Gordon says this, how many thousands of lips have lingered lovingly over those sweet, strong words? The peace of God, which passeth all understanding. It is God's peace. It acts as an armed guard, drawn up around the heart and thoughts to keep unrest out. It is too subtle for intellectual analysis, but it steals into and steadies the heart. You cannot understand it, but you can feel it. You cannot get a hold of it with your head, but you can with your heart. You do not get it, it gets you. You need not understand in order to experience. Blessed are they that have not understood and yet have yielded and experienced. This is a peace that God gives. It's not a peace the world gives. God cannot give this peace. God can give this peace. The world cannot give this peace. God knows what we need. All through Scripture, He promises to give us what we need if we but ask through the name of Jesus Christ to accomplish His will. And He owns the cattle in a thousand hills. He's promised to butcher one or two for us if we need to, because He wants to give us that joy of seeing Him answer our prayers that we can then serve Him. He can put fruit on our vines. We can glorify Him with the fruit and have joy of knowing that our labors are not in vain. But you may ask, how do we operate in such a sinful world? How can we be godly in such a sinful world? Well, do you think that the sinfulness of this world surprised our eternal God? Do you think maybe He knew this was going to happen? Do you think maybe He knows the beginning, the end from the beginning, and the beginning from the end? Oh, yeah, God is eternal. There is nothing out there that has surprised our God. He who let the sinful world put Him on the cross, that sin's penalty could be paid and bring sinful men to a holy God, knows what we need, knows the world that is, and knows how to protect us. He knows that there are many adversaries, but He has put down every enemy under His footstool. The last enemy He defeated was death. And He defeated it with His resurrection. He died that we might live. Once again, if God be for us, who can be against us? We do live in a sinful, evil world with many adversaries. But 2 Timothy 1:7 says this, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And 1 Corinthians 2:16 adds this, we have the mind of Christ. That mind grows and becomes more mature and stronger as we dine on our needful food, which is His Word. Meditate on it, and that will empower that mind given to us. Our focus will be eternal. Our focus will be on Him. Our focus will be joy, love, and peace. We replace worry with joy by focusing on God. Praying without ceasing gives us that joy, gives us that understanding. That focus makes the daily struggles of things given to God that He may show Himself powerful through us. He desires to answer prayers. He desires to show us He is powerful. He desires to have us understand just how powerful He is, and that we then glorify Him by answering, giving thanks to the answers to those prayers. The meditation daily that we have gives us four things: joy, peace, wonder, and confidence. So first of all, Why would we have joy? We have joy because the very God that created all things, that has given us eternal life, walks with us daily, desires us to be with him. Praying without ceasing is to be in the presence of God at all time, focusing on God, loving our God, as you're in the presence with him at all times. You seek both his answers and his wisdom. You give the petitions and receive those answers, and you enjoy his fellowship. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Paul is repeating this for a reason. It's not natural for us. We rejoice in this world because God's with us. He adds in 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice evermore. And once again, it's not always talking. Praying without ceasing isn't praying constantly. Now, if I'm in a 737, I'm landing in LaGuardia with a short runway, there's a 30-knot crosswind and it's snowing and the visibility is 1/4 mile. I don't think the passengers want me to have my eyes closed and my head bowed. Do you? But I can still be praying without ceasing because I am understanding that God's with me. I am giving him glory for everything that's happening. I'm giving him glory for the fact that I'm able to safely get in there. I'm giving him glory for the fact that he's with me. And I know that he's going to lead me to where I need to go. Remember, we are children of the King, children of his eternal kingdom. And 1 Peter 1:4 talks about this. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. How many of you own houses? Those houses are never worn out, right? Never have to repaint them. Never have any problems. Never have to replace plumbing. Heaven will have that. They'll be undefiled. We have defiled housing down here. Our eternity is undefiled. There will be no rot. It'll be returned to what God intended to begin with. And Romans 14, 17 adds this and reminds us, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. This joy is in the person of Jesus Christ who gave us entrance into this kingdom. And 1 Peter 1, 8-9 talks about the love that we have for Jesus because of this. Whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now we see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. This joy in God draws others to him. This joy in God is part of the Great Commission. Why would anyone want to come to God if you're always whining and complaining? They can do that very well on their own. It is the joy you have that will draw them to the God that you love. An understanding of our eternal position in the world makes the world wonder, why are we smiling when everything is falling apart? Smiling when no earthly sane person possibly could. Rejoicing in the Lord always, as Paul did. As an example, turn to Acts chapter 16, verses 22 to 30. Now I read this. If Paul's in jail, this is not the jail that I go to in Unity. This is a horrible, dark, dank, miserable prison they were in, and they were shackled to a concrete wall. And yet we read in Acts chapter 16, starting in verse 22. And a multitude rose up together against them. And the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, and sprang in, and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? That is what joy will do. That is what confidence in God will do. I don't know why the Spirit did it, how the Spirit did it, but he told them to stay there. And all the prisoners stayed there also. By their example, by the joy, in a time we'd made absolutely no sense at all, All the prisoners recognized there was something that Paul and Silas had they didn't. The prisoners got saved. If the prisoners hadn't got saved, they'd all left. But they had more care for that jailer than they did for their own lives at that point. And what happened there? The jailer got saved. If you read the rest of it, you see the jailer's whole family got saved. That joy will draw people to our God. They had a peace that passed all understanding. Which brings us to the second thing that the praying without ceasing brings, and that's peace. Paul and Silas showed it. They were beaten with open sores, chained in a dark, dank, cold, concrete prison. What did they do? They whined. They complained. They talked about how it was so unfair. No, that's not what it is. They sang and praised God. That's what it says they did. Made no sense. They had a peace that passed all understanding. And the prisoners heard them and saw that peace, which made no sense. This is not a peace that the world gives. Their hearts and minds were kept through Christ Jesus. All the prayers we have studied in this series lead to this peace. We ask what He will, and He answers us. The eternal, immortal, sovereign God of the universe has adopted us by faith in the blood of His dear Son, shed for the remission of sins, and He has taken us under His wing. Romans 8:32 says this, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Every word in that Bible you can trust. Everything He says you can trust. Do you trust this creation that He created? If you trust this creation He created, on day four, and He created the stars also, everything you see beyond our human comprehension, that God is for us. That God keeps us. That God has put us under His wing. Once again, if God be for us, who can be against us? God has made our sin peace through Christ Jesus. As Hebrews 19 through 20 says, Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. This is the peace from Jesus the world can never give. As Jesus told the apostles when He was still on the earth in John 14:27, Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And have you ever afraid? I am. It's because I lack faith. But the more faith we have, the more we trust in Him, the more we meditate on His word, the less we'll have fear, the less we'll have worry, and the more we'll understand the eternal nature of our God. We saw a few weeks ago, God is glorified by answering our prayers of faith if we ask in Jesus' name. We have joy in the peace knowing that He cares for us. He is a perfect Father, providing what we need in the time we need it. And John 16:24 tells us to ask and receive that our joy may be full. Peace in knowing He cares. He cares for our very joy. He cares if you're joyful or not. He wants to answer your prayers to hold you in that joy. The God of the universe cares about me. There's no one in this world that really knows me. There's a few, you all know me. A few people in my family know me. There's not much significance about me at all. And yet He's worried about my joy. And that is true with every single person in here. Why do we have such peace in a world without peace? A piece of His joy and holiness in a world of sin and persecution with no hope? Once again, we have a God that is for us, that we see His creation, we see His glory, we see His word. And if God be for us, who can be against us? One of Mary's very famous favorite verses, 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your cares on Him, for He careth for you. We have no need to worry. We have a God who gives us the power, a spirit of power and not fear. Let us bask in that peace as He gives us that joy. With all this, a prayer without ceasing will bring us a wonder that is just beyond comprehension. We avoid the sin and hopelessness of this world by not focusing on the sin and hopelessness in this world. Instead, we focus on His eternal kingdom of joy and peace. The world suffers as it focuses on its sinful hopelessness. We pray without ceasing, meditating on His word, awaiting our redemption, for it is nigh. Verse 8 shows us how to keep that joy. Do not just follow God for fire insurance, hoping you're going to avoid hell. If you do that, you're going to worry. You're going to have the same problems the world has because you have not worked on having that eternal focus. What you need to do is focus on the beauty of Jesus Christ, the Lord, the character of our eternal kingdom. Fellowship with those who do the same. Now, 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, evil communication corrupts good manners. What that basically says is, if you lay with the world's dogs, you're going to get the world's fleas. Pretty much is what that says. What we need to do is soar with eagles that we can be above it all, and we can look down, and there won't be any fleas at all to worry us, because we are soaring with God. He has lifted us above this world. We're in the world, but not of the world. We're citizens of heaven. So, how do we stay joyful? Verse 8 shows us. Focusing on the wonder of it all. So first of all, think of truth. John 17:17 says this, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So you meditate fully on his word right here. King James Bible, right, I got right here. You meditate on this, it's going to bring you that peace and joy, because he's going to show you that peace and joy. Why? Because John 8:32 says this, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. How many here want to be free? This is how you do it. Second, what is honest? Ephesians 4:25 calls us to put away lying and speak truth to your neighbors. His word is truth. Our word must be truth to reflect him. Next, just. Psalm 106:6 says this, blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. What that says is ensure your yea is yea and your nay is nay. And if you fail, I should say when you fail, make it right. Ensure people understand that you are going to make sure your word is right when you do fail. Fourth, purity. You study to understand his holiness and copy it. 1 Peter 1:16 reminds us, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. You love your Heavenly Father? Learn to imitate it. Just like the young child we talked about last week. Hang around your Father. Learn to imitate him. Learn to do the things he's doing. Learn to have his character. Enjoy the fact that you're in his presence. When you do that, you will learn how to be holy as he is holy, because you're imitating his holiness. And but you have to be in his presence to do that. All of these teach us of his loveliness. Ensure you have a good name as his follower, and he will receive a good report through you. Do all these things. The meditations will lead you to a joyful life. Focusing on eternity, we'll be drawn to him as he blesses us and then prepares us for the next world. You want peace and joy in this life? Focus on his peaceful kingdom in joy. You will see worry as foolish as God is for you, and if God is for you once again, who can be against you? So, last thing we look at is confidence. Verse 9 gives us an amazing promise. Learn of him and receive his wisdom from his word, illuminated by his spirit. God will be with you. In this old sinful world, our focus must remain on him, which is why church is so important. Building each other up as the world tries to tear us down. And Hebrews 10:19-25 goes into this. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So, what we're doing is reminding each other of his greatness. We're reminding each other to remain in his presence. We're reminding each other that he is for us, and if he is for us, who is against us? Now, every one of us here has problems. Every one of us here needs to be built up, and every one of us needs to build each other up, and that is what a church does. It puts our focus back where it should be, focusing on the meditation of God's word. So you pray for each other, and you give thanks for those answers. We have confidence in our God who cannot lie. We need to meditate in those truths. Pray for what you need, and do all you can to draw others to that same God, for that is our family business. He will be with you. the God of peace, holding you up in a world that knows no peace. This world's not our home. But as we're in this home as pilgrims, he will give us an abundant life of him, showing that our labor is not in vain, providing fruit that we may give to him at the final judgment. So, when we look at all this, what is praying without ceasing? Praying without ceasing is to be in the constant presence of our Heavenly Father. Now, once again, I said last week, when I'm with Mary, I just want to be in her presence. There's joy in being in her presence. If I'm driving along, we don't always talk, but we know each other's right next to each other. And every now and then, I'll touch her just to let her know I'm here and show that I like the fact that I'm here, that she's here. No, that is what we're talking about, just enjoying the presence of God. When you see something, wow, God, that is a beautiful mountain you gave us. It's a beautiful sunrise you gave us. It's a beautiful sunset you gave us. And at the same time, listening to what he has to tell you. You know, every now and then, as I'm working on a sermon, I'll hit a brick wall. Man, what do I do next? Well, what happens is I back off a little bit, I pray, and all of a sudden, why didn't I think of that? What is that? That is God giving me an answer of what my question was, even if I didn't ask it, because he's got that presence with me. He'll do the same thing with you. If you're constantly in the presence, meditating on him, meditating on the word, meditating how great God is, he will talk to you. He will reveal things that you didn't think about before. So if you want peace and joy in this world of sin and strife, once again, pray without ceasing. Bring your petitions as you praise him, staying at the throne of grace till you receive an answer, and he will give you that answer. Praying for others, that you can learn to show the mind of Christ as you show your concern for others. Once finished with specific prayers, once again, praying in a constant walk with Jesus Christ, sharing your joy with him and in him as he shows you that he cares for your joy, focusing on God and not worrying about the world. We are rich in the eternal mansion waiting for us. It'll be in streets of gold. We are pilgrims now in this evil world, but sealed by the Spirit, we're going to be delivered by God. He's promised it. He sealed us to the day of redemption. There is nothing that can break that seal. We have no worries as the Creator God of the universe has promised to give us all we need. And we joyfully receive those answers and thank him in praise. Let us rejoice in this world always. He sent his Son to redeem us. He loves us so much as to adopt us. He gives us his word to give us eternal joy. Our worry disappears as we focus on the wonder of it all. The more we leave the idea of stale rules to follow and focus on the beauty of Jesus Christ, the more we want to learn on him. This is not a book of stale rules. This is a love letter written by God to show us how to have joy and peace and to show us his character. Imitating our Heavenly Father, we meditate on his love and his attributes, and we want to be in his presence all the more. Meditating constantly, we lose all fear of this world as we focus on him and the next. It's a constant communication, even without a constant conversation. Do all these things, we'll have full confidence in the God whom we love and will live with forevermore. Pray without ceasing. With that, we need to look at softly and tenderly. That is hymn 295. His throne of grace is always open. His throne of grace awaits you to come into his presence. His throne of grace is there for his fellowship, his joy, his worship, his peace. If you've not been saved, please, don't wait for tomorrow. Our redemption is nigh for those of us who believe, which means it'll be too late for you if you have never been saved. At the same time, we want to provide fruit. We want to show that our labor is not in vain. If you haven't been doing that, come home. Come back to where your joy was. And please make it today that our God can be glorified and your joy will be full. With that, let's close in prayer and get ready to enjoy the bounty that God gives us. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that your throne of grace is always open, that you desire us to come into your presence, that you desire our fellowship, our worship. The wonder of it all, Lord, is if you even consider me, let alone are worried about me, let alone are concerned that I have joy, let alone that you're concerned I have an abundant life. Lord, the fact that you sent your only begotten Son to die on a cross for me, that by his stripes I am healed, is beyond my comprehension. It is truly a wonder of wonders that I will never comprehend, but I accept with love, I accept with worship, and I accept with devotion to you. And Lord, if there's anybody here who's never accepted that free gift, let the day be the day that you touch their hearts. Let the day be the day that they come into your presence. Let the day be the day that they understand the joy and peace that we're talking about that they cannot understand in this world without joy, without peace, without any hope. And Lord, if there's anybody here who has walked out of your presence, who is saved, who is a child of God, but is now experiencing that joy, let the day be the day they come home. Let the day be the day that they learn of that peace and joy once again as they come back into your presence. We ask all of us in your precious Son's dear name. Amen.